I just want to extend a warm and hearty welcome to all of visiting friends who are visiting from far and from near. Raise your hand if you're visiting with us. Raise those hands. Raise them. Raise them. Amen. We thank you for being with us today to share in the worship of the living God. I'm just going to ask the board members just to have a short meeting just after we'd have greeted out there. Also, I just want to extend thanks to those officers and members of the church who came and participated and made our officers' council last weekend to be what it has been, in spite of some of the hiccup that we may have, but we thank God for what the Lord would have passed on to us. We want to maintain the theme, fruit bearing in 2024. We want to keep that going and keep it on our lips and in our classrooms and in our different meetings. Keep it going. Let it be the forefront of our heart that we're going to bear fruit in 2024. I had mentioned some time ago that we're going to establish the safety and security system, but we have a little setback on that, so we're going to be holding back on that and until that is sorted out, we get back on the ground where that is concerned. Pastor Valerie, the pastor for the Bridgeport Spanish, sent me an invite for the church for February 9th through the 10th. There will be a stewardship weekend seminar at their church and inviting us over there. It will be done by our stewardship director of the conference. So we're talking about February 9th and 10th. That's a weekend stewardship seminar. Right, so that is that. And we are happy today, brethren, that we are together worshiping the Lord together. What do you say? Are you happy? Amen. Say amen. Yes. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at imprisonment, praise, and prayer, part one. What is it? Imprisonment, praise, and prayer, part one. God has a way of warning us and preparing us for things to come. Jesus did that to his disciples as he was preparing them and nurturing them for the future in their ministry. And so he said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16 through 22, "Behold, I send you forth as what? As sheep." Turn with me to that text. Turn with me, because you're going to talk with me throughout this service. We're going to preach together. Okay, I'm going to ask question, you answer as we move along. "Behold, I send you forth as what? As sheep in the midst of what? In the midst of wool. Be therefore wise." Be therefore wise as serpent, and be what? Harmless as a dove. Note that. Why should you be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove? Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and They will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Note these expressions. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how you or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour that ye shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the children, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to put to death. And he shall be hated. He shall be what? Be hated of all men for my name's sake. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Let us pray. Father God, as we enter into these admonitions, O Lord, prepare the hearts and minds of your people to receive it. Not only to receive it, not only to hear it, but to practice it. And help me, Lord, speak through me to use the right phrase, the right words, the right body language, the right voice inflection to bring about this message. Lord, move all just of sin, so nothing can hinder your message for your people to hear it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus warned his disciples that for his name's sake, you are going to be delivered up, beaten, and you shall be brought before authorities and kings for the testimony against them and the Gentiles. That day is coming soon for us in this dispensation. And the message today is to prepare you that when you go, you'll be wise. When that happens to you or to us, be wise as serpent and be harmless as a dove. Don't try to defend yourself. Don't try to kill anybody. Don't try to speak your own words in your own defense. Just surrender yourselves. Because in the whole atmosphere, you are not fighting a battle that belongs to you. You are fighting a battle that belongs to Satan and Jesus Christ. And we are caught in the middle of it. So what we need to do is to be wise as a serpent and be harmless as a dove. And remember, the words that will be spoken will not be our words, but the Spirit of God will give us the right words to speak in that moment. Amen.
Amen.
He warned the disciples, and he sent them out. So we are talking about imprisonment, praise, and prayer. Here are some important facts about prison. A prison is a secured building designed to hold inmates as retribution for their crimes or suspect as they wait trial. Prisons serve various purposes, including retribution and also incarceration and deterrence and for reformation. Prisons are long-term facilities run by the state or the federal government that typically hold persons sentenced to incarceration for more than 1 year. Prison facilities also generally house a large population of inmates than local jails. Here, this research. In 2020, 2.3 million people were incarcerated in the United States. There are 1,943 state and federal prisons in the United States. Think about that for a while. Imprisonment, praise, and prayer. In your memory of the Bible and the scriptures, can you recall the first man who went to prison? According to the Bible, the first recorded instance of someone being put in prison is found in Genesis, where Joseph, the son of Jacob, was imprisoned in Egypt. This story is found in Genesis chapter 39 through 40, where Joseph was falsely accused by his master's wife and subsequently imprisoned. I know some researchers are here. If you want to research further than that, you may. But this is the first instance of somebody being placed in prison where the Bible is concerned. Bible record is concerned. What other instance of imprisonment are recorded in the Bible? John the Baptist. Why did John the Baptist? Notice Joseph was placed in prison because of false accusation. Note that expression, false accusation. Jesus said that his disciples will be placed before governors and kings for his sake. John the Baptist, the story recorded in Matthew chapter 14, 1 through 10, showed Herod his sin. Herod decided to take his brother's wife and marry to her. And John called him out on that. And Herodias consented that John be placed in prison. Her daughter begged for his head on a platter. And so John the Baptist was beheaded. And his head was taken as a request. He spoke the truth. Who was he speaking for? Who was he speaking for? He was speaking for Jesus Christ. Peter, on the other hand, in Acts 12, 1 through 19, King Herod was persecuting the church. And he went after Peter. And Peter was locked in prison while his church was praying for him. That's another story that comes up in part two of this message. God has a way of manifesting himself after praise and prayers in prison. Let's examine this one. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25 and verse 34. So Paul and Silas, and the recorder of Luke, they were going about preaching the word of God. Preaching what, brethren? The word of God. Telling men and women about Jesus Christ, his saving grace, and for men to be convicted of their sins. But while Paul and Silas were preaching, there was a woman who was being used by a stakeholder in the community, in this town, in the city. She was possessed with the devil, evil spirit. And so she went behind Paul and Silas and anointed them, but she was saying the right thing. I know you are from God. I know you are from God. And so Paul said, I'm going to put an end to this. And Paul healed her. Paul healed her of her demonic possession. And it caused a riot in the town. The stakeholder who was using this woman to make money, to bring income to him, now had no more the evil spirit in her. So she was now living her normal life. And it vexed that particular stakeholder. And he caused a riot on Paul and Silas, grabbed them, arrested them, brought them before counselors, and struck them and beat them and cut them up and then cast them in prison. Jesus told Peter, James, and John and the other apostles before Paul came on the scene that you are going to be caught up. You are going to be taken before counselors, magistrates, and kings for my name's sake. When John got it, it was not strange to John. When Peter got it, it was not strange to Peter. But Paul did not get that memo. Did you hear me, church? Paul did not get that orientation. Paul was not around when Jesus was telling them, look out and be aware of men because they will hate you. Paul joined the throng later, after, long after all that was given. But somehow, being a servant of God, being a man preaching the word of God, casting out devils and demons, he became also a subject of imprisonment. And so while they were placed in prison, the Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 through 34, and at midnight, at what church?
Midnight.
At midnight, a lot of things happen at midnight, you know. A lot of things happen at midnight. And the midnight cry, yeah? Yes. At midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Talk to me, church. Prayed and what? Sung praises. Come on, church. Come alive now. Sung what? Praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Paul and Silas, at midnight, while they were in prison, instead of moping and watching their sores and worrying, they prayed, they sang praises unto their God, and prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a what? Follow me in your Bible, brethren. And there suddenly was what? An earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loosed.
Amen. Praise God.
Everyone who was in chain, the chain fell off their feet. Some of us need to take off our chains. Some of us are imprisoning ourselves. Some of us are wearing too much symbol of incarceration. And we need to let loose and let go. Let God be in our lives. Just as Paul and Silas at midnight praying and singing praise to God, God responded immediately. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul, remember, Jesus said, be wise as serpent and be what? Harmless as a dove. Paul did not go to hurt the prisoners. Are you with me, brethren? Paul and Silas did not go to hurt the prisoners because they are not let loose. You know, a lot of news coming across now that inmates attacking warders, prison warders, and damaging them. Some of them are escaping. But in this case, the prisoners didn't attack the warders. What did they do? They said, do not do yourself any harm. We are here. We are all here. And then he cried. Then he called for a light, and sprung in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. What happened? And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? At midnight, brethren, in prison, Paul and Silas drew for songs and praises and prayed to God, and the prisoner and the warders heard them.
and were convicted after God responded and went up to say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "You don't have to do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Not only you, but your household." Did you get it, brethren? The prayer and the praise in prison caused a household of warders and their warders to be accepting Jesus Christ as their personal savior from sin. That is why Jesus said, "They're going to hate you, but don't mind." When you are hated, when you're in prison, don't think about speaking your own words. I will tell you what to do, what to say, what song to sing, how to manifest yourself, what your posture, what your gesture, what your attitude should be like. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house, in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them in his house, he sat meat before them, rejoiced, believing in God with all his household. Amen. What a miracle. What a God. Amen. What a grace. What a Holy Spirit. Sister White says, Sister White puts it this way, those within prison walls need comfort and encouragement. Then what is traced in your diary? Then what is traced in your diary this year? Does it record an experience gained by ministering to the suffering, the poor, the needy? Those who are suffering for Christ's sake, who will not yield the truth for error, who perhaps are incarcerated within prison walls. These need comfort and encouragement. This is the kind of work that is deciding our destiny. There is a precious reward awaiting those who are faithful in their ministry. They will have a home in the mansions that Christ has given to prepare for them that love him and wait for his appearing. This is coming from Youth Instructors, August 19, 1897, A Lesson to Live By. Talking about praise, incarceration, praise, and prayer. We have understand fully what is incarceration or imprisonment. But these two men praised God in prison and prayed. So what is that? Praise is showing gratitude to God with all your being. Praise is what? Showing gratitude to God with all your being, unreservedly. Praise has no limit, no reservation, no pride or place. Let me go again. Praise has no limit, nor reservation, nor pride, nor place. Everywhere you go, praise the Lord. There is no selfishness. There is no shamefulness. That's the word. There is no shamefulness in giving praise. There is no secret in giving praise to God. Praise the Lord, for he is what? Worthy to be praised. Praise him walking. Praise him talking. Praise him sleeping. When you're snoring, praise the Lord. There are some of these are some hindrances to total praise to God. Listen, one, guilt. Hard to praise God. If you're cast into prison and you're guilty and you're burdened down, it's hard to praise the Lord. Guilt is a hindrance. Pride is a hindrance. Animosity is a hindrance. Selfishness, presumption, depressive tendencies, anxious disposition, care of this world are hindrances to real praises to God. These are called spiritual, emotional setback to praise. We have to emancipate ourselves from negative emotion, incarceration, so that praise to God can pour out in our limitless. We do not praise God with just words. Just uttering words is not enough. Anybody can say praise Lord, but it must come from deep down in our souls of gratitude. And White encouraged us this way: how often those who are in health forget the wonderful mercies that are continued to them day by day, year by year. They render no tribute of praise to God for all his benefits. But when sickness comes, God is remembered. Let everyone, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Have any of us duly considered how much we have to be thankful for? Do remember that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning, and that his faithfulness faileth not. Do we acknowledge our dependence on him and express gratitude for all his favors? On the contrary, we too often forget that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 315. Benefits of praise. These are some of the benefits of praise. When you praise the Lord, it is relaxing. Amen. Amen. It sets you free. Praise the Lord. It builds trust. It points us away from ourselves. It sets us free. It gives us reason to live. It helps us to continue. It helps us to count our blessings, name them one by one by one. Those are the benefits of praise. All that hath breath, praise God. Praise in the night. Praise in the day. Praise him in your walking, when things are good and when things are not so good. Praise the Lord. So what is prayer? If we praise God, praise is to give God all your praise, all that you have, all the gratitude without reserving. So what is prayer? All of us know what is prayer. Brother Steve was appealing to us that we need to pray. These two men praise God in singing and prayer in the prison, and God answered them. Jesus warned his disciples that men are going to hate you. Not everybody going to like you. When you speak for a man's name's sake, you are going to be cast in prison. But remember, when you're speaking, allow me to speak for you through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we pray, the Bible says that the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God does, intercedes on our prayer with what? Much groaning. So what is prayer? What is more important in this life than prayer? Prayer is our connection with God, our strength, our bridge to heaven. It is when men begin to call upon the name of the Lord that they find him. Paul and Silas in prison did not just try to know God when they went into prison. They knew God before they went into prison. And that is why they were able to pray and praise God, because they knew that God, for through Christ's sake, will come and rescue them. When we are incarcerated for the righteousness' sake, brethren, do not worry. We have a God in heaven. We have a Holy Spirit who comforts. Let us relax ourselves and praise God on our knees. Praise God in walking. Praise God in trouble sometime. Let us praise the Lord. So we need to pray. Pray. Because prayer is that link between us and God. We have no connection between us and Biden, the president of the United States. We have no link to him. If we write him a letter, we don't think we're going to hear from him. Very few people would hear from him. But thank God, when we pray to God, God answers. Amen. God is not up there sleeping in a rocking chair. He is very much alive and involved in what takes place on planet Earth. He did not just set up Earth and wind up like a clock for it to run. He is very much in our lives. So we need to pray to him. Ellen G. White puts some clarity on prayer by saying, the scripture admonishes us to pray without ceasing. This does not mean that we are to spend all our times on our knees in formal prayer. It does not mean that we must live and serve our Lord in the atmosphere of prayer. Sorry. It does mean that we must live and serve our Lord in the atmosphere of prayer. Yep, we must walk praying. We get up, we pray. Prayer should be a part of our life, like we take, like the air that we breathe. We should be praying. Prayer is the channel of communication between our souls and God. God speaks to us through his word. We respond to him through our prayers. God speaks to us through what, brethren? Word. Through his words. He instructs us through his words. And our response to him is to pray daily. Give him thanks. God, you talk to me and I follow instruction, and this is the result. Praise God. Pray to him. And he always listens to us. We cannot weary or burden him by our frequent heart-to-heart communication. And I say, thank God. That's prayer. Heart-to-heart communication to God. Do it, brethren. God likes when we talk to him. God likes when we talk to him. He likes when we praise him. And our praises and talking to God in prayer should be a daily activity. So it becomes a part of us. Don't let sin take over our lives. Don't let the activities of this world rob you of prayer and praises to God. Because the final analysis, that's what we're going to be left with. Not with the cars, not with the houses, not sometimes not with our husband and our wives, nor our children. We are going to be left with prayer and praise because we are going to be alone with God. There's a nice little book that is out there, Alone with God. It's good that you can get a copy and read it. It helps you to tell you about being alone with God is a very valuable, precious thing to do. Spend time with God. So when troublesome times come, when imprisonment come and incarceration should come, because you are standing up for truth, you know whom you're standing for. Because Jesus said it, you are going to be incarcerated for my name's sake. But if you're incarcerated not for God's sake, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. God will still respond to you, but your own emotions, you are going to strip yourselves. You're going to be stumbling over your emotions and guilt and pain and regret. So you're not able to praise the Lord because what? You have walked out of his will and walk onto your own path and walk in the devil's trap. But God is still merciful. In conclusion, when God's people reveal the truth about sin, When God's people reveal the truth about sin, Jesus and his grace, the adversary gets angry. Did you get that, church? Yep. When sin is revealed, Jesus is exalted and his grace is put in place, the adversary gets angry. As people get out of their sin of prison and are set free, he does not appreciate that. The adversary does not appreciate that. He wants us to be incarcerated, to be kept in chains. There is a clear correlation between what Jesus told his disciples and the experience of John the Baptist when he was put in prison. He pointed out Herod's sins. As he pointed out Herod's sin, correlation between Paul and Silas when preaching about Jesus who set the captive free when they were also cast in prison. There's a correlation. If we who are set free continue to preach sin and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we are going to be delivered to the councils and they will scourge us in the marketplace, in the crowd, in the city, and we shall be brought before governors and kings for Christ's sake, and we shall be hated of men for Christ's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. That's our message today. No matter what we are going through, endure. And that's why we need to ask the God for this, for the fruit of the Spirit called endurance. So while we are praying and praising God, we need to pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Especially endurance. We need to practice to praise the Lord with all our might. Pray without ceasing. The Lord will deliver us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Bow your heads with me, everybody. Bow your heads with me. Today you're here. While you're bowing your heads, please pray for somebody to be set free out of the incarceration of sin and chains of sin and circumstances. Today you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I've heard your message. And I want to develop that attribute of praise. I want to practice praying from now so I can have a good relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. You really want to be saved in God's kingdom, and you want others to be saved. Because Jesus says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You're here today. I want to pray for you. I earnestly want to pray for you. You're here today. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ. You have not yet been baptized. You have not making that walk. So that if anything should happen now, you, right as you are thinking, you don't think you have the assurance because of your walk with the Lord. But you want to sanctify yourself. You want to have that walk. And you said, Pastor, please pray for me so I can develop praying. I can develop praise. I can develop endurance. I can walk and I can have a good relationship with God. I have not yet been baptized. I have not yet surrendered my life to Christ. With your head bowed, just stick your hand up. I want to pray for you. You have not yet been baptized. I want to pray for you. Raise that hand. Raise that hand. No matter who you are, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Raise those hands. You are here today and you've heard the message. If you don't have that relationship with Christ before, when that day come, when the crisis day come, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. I want you to raise your hand where you are. Raise your hands. I want to pray for you. I want to have a special prayer for you. Raise those hands. Raise those hands. Today you are here. And you're saying, my prayer life is kind of lapse. I have given my heart to Jesus Christ. My prayer life is not what it ought to be. My praise and my gratitude, I have a lot of baggages that are holding me back from doing the right praise to God. And you're saying, Pastor, please pray for deliverance for me. Raise that hand. Raise that hand. Raise those hands. Raise that hand. Raise that hand. You're here saying that I have already given my heart to Jesus Christ, but I want to help others, and I want the endurance to continue to preach, to live that life so that others can see help, you want help to develop that fearless attitude to stand up for God though the heavens fall. I want that. I want that. Would you like to stand with me? Stand with me. Those who want, but stand with me. Stand with me. Endurance. To fight the faith. To fight with faith. Endurance to stand up. When that day comes, I want to practice it now. I want to do that. Let us pray. Father God, we have some people who are in this congregation who are struggling. They are between two opinions. They are confused. Somehow the devil may just have them in chains. Some, Lord, they want to be delivered. They want to be like Paul and Silas. When they prayed, they want to be able to pray and hear from you immediately. But they have not yet surrendered their lives to you. They have not committed themselves to you. Lord, I pray, Lord, walk through this congregation and touch every one of those persons now. Do that, Holy Spirit, please. Touch them, convict them, so they can surrender themselves, so that next week, the week after, they can come and say, praise the Lord, I am free. I am sin set free. They can remove the chains and be set free. And there's another set, Lord, who are struggling. They have all kinds of issues that are hindering them from giving total praise to you. I pray, God, that you'll move through this congregation and touch them also. Help them, Lord, to emancipate themselves from all those emotional setbacks so they can give you praise and pray earnestly to you. The majority of us, Lord, we say we have really given your heart, our heart to you, Lord. And Father God, we want you to continue to work on us. We want you, Lord, to continue to make us what you want us to be. Be a light in the dark. Be an example to those who are weak, to walk and tell others about your goodness and be fearless about what will happen unto us. Lord, give us the courage from now. Give us endurance. Give us patience. Give us insight. Give us, oh Lord, the Holy Spirit, day by day with each passing moment. So Lord, so we can live from day to day, so we can count our blessings, name them one by one, so that we will not allow anything to hinder our praise, nothing to stop us from praying. And so, Lord, nothing will stop you from responding when we pray. Lord, bless this congregation. Bless those who are in Zoom. Bless those within the hearing of my voice. I pray, God, for these mercies we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Please remain standing for the closing exercise.